Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Amy Held. The home stretch is here. Today and tomorrow mark President Trump's busiest campaign sprint, with 10 rallies scheduled in multiple swing states. He'll return to Pennsylvania, where he spent the day yesterday. Democratic nominee Joe Biden will spend the remainder of his campaign in the Keystone State, a key state in more ways than one, reports Katie Meyer of member station WHYY.
In a speech at a Bucks County farm, Trump repeated an often told vision of the Biden presidency, that he'll ban fracking and kill jobs. Biden says he won't ban fracking. The outdoor event was full, and dozens of enthusiastic supporters who couldn't get in rallied nearby. But in most of the Philadelphia suburbs, reactions to Trump are more mixed. It used to be a GOP stronghold, but it's trending blue. Republicans like Pat O'Leary are a big reason why. She's still on the fence, but is leaning toward Biden.
With the coronavirus, he might have dropped the ball. And that's a big deal. We got a big problem now.
Polls have tightened slightly in Pennsylvania, and Biden leads by 5 points. He'll be in the state later today. For NPR News, I'm Katie Meyer in Philadelphia.
The U.S. has capped its worst week for coronavirus cases, with daily infections nearing the 100,000 mark. Outbreaks are especially bad in the Midwest, where some hospitals are nearing capacity, and where cooler temperatures are expected to send more people indoors, worsening the spread. Dr. Randy Tobler is CEO of the Scotland County Hospital in Memphis, Missouri, where he says staffing is a major worry.
It's becoming a real profound stressor on people that are already on bare nerve endings. I don't know how long that can be sustained if the combined respiratory season slash influenza slash COVID-19 surge continues indefinitely.
There was a moment of joy in the Turkish city of Izmir, where rescuers pulled a survivor from the rubble of a building that collapsed in Friday's earthquake. The BBC's Orla Garin reports it's giving hope to families of the missing.
Looking at all of this crushed concrete, it's hard to imagine that anyone else could be brought out alive. But another survivor was found here overnight, a man in his 70s.
Now, rescue teams are still working. They're on top of the rubble. They're searching by hand, but also with dogs. They've been using heavy machinery a short distance away. Relatives are maintaining a vigil. We've spoken to one man whose sister is missing. She's a woman of 24, and she was working in the dentist's office here at the bottom of the building.
The BBC's Orla Garin. Another tropical storm has formed in the Atlantic. Eta is expected to strengthen into a hurricane as it approaches the coast of Central America on Tuesday. Eta is a record-tying 28th named storm in an unusually active Atlantic season that still has a month to go. It's NPR News. Belarusian police have fired warning shots into the air, used stun grenades, and made arrests to deter tens of thousands of people marching in Minsk today. Demonstrators have poured into the streets en masse for 12 weeks straight following a disputed election. Their goal is to pressure longtime President Alexander Lukashenko to leave office. A night of violence in Quebec City, where a man was arrested after going on a stabbing rampage. Dan Karpinchuk reports from Toronto. Two people were killed, five others wounded.
Police discovered the victims in four locations of Quebec City's historic district after 10 p.m. After about a two-hour manhunt, a suspect was arrested less than a mile away in the city's old port near the St. Lawrence River. Premier François Legault offered his condolences to the victims and their families. He said Quebec is waking up after a night of horror, and words failed to describe such a tragedy. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also said his thoughts were with the victims and first responders. The city's counterterrorism unit has been taking part in the investigation, but according to officials, there's no indication the suspect acted on motives other than personal ones. The suspect was also taken to hospital for evaluation. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Indian government forces killed a top rebel commander in Kashmir during a gun battle today. That's according to police there. Saifullah Mir was with the region's largest militant group that has spearheaded an armed campaign against Indian rule for decades. Tens of thousands of civilians, rebels, and government forces have been killed in the ongoing conflict over the disputed region. I'm Amy Held in Washington, and you're listening to NPR News.